We shall turn again to God's Word in the book of Psalms, Psalm 30. Psalm 30, from verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The last time we considered this part of God's Word, we looked at the precious, comforting truth that when God hides his face from his people, it is short-lived. And also that God speedily returns to his people and he grants his favor. We notice the brevity of God's anger toward his people, and then the return of his presence to his people, and also the life of his favor in the experience of his people. And we considered as well the comfort that the Lord's people may take in that God is never angry with his people in the way of the judicial sentence of condemnation. Christ suffered all of that for them. And when God hides his face from his people, it is for their profit. And however much they may feel that God has withdrawn his presence from them, the Lord's people may take comfort in this wonderful truth that God's anger is brief, the tears are just for a night, not a literal night always, but comparatively so, compared with their lifetime, compared with eternity, that the absence of God in their experience is short. It's the shortness of God's anger and the weeping as a result of it, as we also referred to Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And in thy favor is life. When the Lord comes and grants his presence to his people, it's like their life is restored, because without him they feel lifeless. When God is not near them in their experience, they feel dull and dead. But his anger is for just a moment, and when he returns, they feel renewed, because life is in his favor. In his favor is life. Well, tonight we wish to look at the whole psalm and retrace the steps of David from his low point to his high point, as he says in verse 11, from mourning to dancing. He says, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And we can consider the psalm as a whole by thinking of the different parts of prayer. The different parts of prayer. Now, of course, this inspired composition is not a prayer in itself. It's a psalm. Indeed, it's a song for the dedication of the house of David, as we see in the title. But the song that has been written includes the prayer of David that he prayed. And we can see in this psalm the various parts of prayer. Do you remember what the parts of prayer are? What are the parts of prayer? Well, here's a helpful hint. I'll quote the Shorter Catechism. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. prayer is desiring from God things that He is able to give us. In other words, in prayer, there is petition. In fact, that's the main part of prayer, or prayer properly speaking. And there is confession of sin, and there is thanksgiving. So, the parts of prayer are what? Petition, confession, thanksgiving. Of course, you can add to that praise and intercession. Praise to God and interceding or praying for others. But, of course, that can be grouped together with either praise or petition. Another way to remember the parts of prayer is the acronym ACTS. C-T-S, ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. These are the several parts of prayer. And of course, adoration, that's praise or thanksgiving. Supplication is the same as petition. So, with the Lord's help, this is how we would like to look at the psalm before us tonight. By considering the parts of this psalm under these parts of prayer. Only we would change the order of the last two. Instead of thanksgiving and then supplication, as it is in the acronym, we'll have thanksgiving last, as it is in the psalm. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. So, the Lord helping us, we consider first of all David's adoration. He begins with praise. Then, secondly, David's confession. He acknowledges his sin. Thirdly, David's supplication. He is praying for help, supplicating God, making supplication to God, praying for help. And finally, in the fourth place, David's thanksgiving. So we've changed the order: adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving. But first, David's adoration. David praises God. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. He extols God. Do you know what that means? It means he raises God, raises up God in his estimation. He lifts up God. That's literally what the word is. Notice also that the reason why he extols God, why does he lift up God in praise? Why? Because God has lifted him up. So here's the antithesis. David is lifting up God in praise because God has lifted up David from the pit. Thou hast lifted me up, or drew me up, as if you're drawing up water, and as if he was in a deep pit, he was so low in his experience. Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Remember Psalm 40, David is acknowledging God delivered him from the fearful pit and the miry clay, drew him out of that dark dungeon and raised him up. So now David is raising up God in praise, lifting him up in praise, as it were, holding up God for everyone else to see, speaking, of course, in the language of men, using figurative language to describe praise. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Well, God has raised up his people from spiritual death. He has delivered them from the lowest hell. And God's people should praise the Lord and show forth the praises of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. They should adore God. They should praise God. Here is adoration. And praising God because He has not allowed the enemy to rejoice over them. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. So David's enemies have not been given the opportunity to rejoice over David. If you remember when David was numbering the people, there were three options for him that by which God would chastise him. And one of those choices that David was forced to forego, and that was falling into the hands of his enemies, unto the hands of the Lord, because the Lord's mercies are great. But perhaps the psalm refers to that occasion, perhaps it doesn't. At any rate, God did spare him from David's enemies, and also kept David from, and he keeps his people from, sin. And when God's people fall into sin, they give God the opportunity to be here. Them now, they're in the world, they're falling into sin. These the saints of God. When God's people fall into sin, it gives the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme. But David is saying that the Lord had not allowed his foes to triumph over him. Well, in verse 2, David says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Here's the covenant relationship. He calls God his own God. God says to Abraham, he promises to be a God to Abraham and to his children. This is the covenant that God makes with his people, to be their God, so that they can say, O Lord God. And God is their portion, their chiefest joy. So David acknowledges that God has healed him. And the healing, well, we believe that is identical with the help that he receives in verse 3, being delivered from the pit, figuratively, and then the joy that he experiences in verse 11, where he says, thou hast turned the morning into dancing, the Lord has delivered him. Deliverance exactly? Literal sickness. Some it was. Was it some other kind of suffering? Well, as it points out, that severe suffering is represented in Scripture as a disease. And relief from that severe suffering is healing. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, to thee, thou hast healed me. And thinking about literal sickness, Spurgeon points out great foolishness that to go to medicine without going to God. We should always go to the source. David went to the source of healing. I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. So, as with the means of grace, so with the means of help. We use the means, but we trust in God. Use the means diligently, but trust in God as if we did not use the means at all. Trust in Him alone. Well, David, in verse 3, acknowledges that God has delivered his soul from the grave. Again, that word is Sheol, the Hebrew word for grave or state of the dead, sometimes used. Here, of course, is the grave. But God has saved David from what seemed to be inevitable and irrecoverable ruin. Whatever the real distress was, God had delivered him from it. So David is praising God. And praising God for keeping him. And we should praise God for keeping us from the paths of the destroyer from the world. Should praise the Lord for his delivering hand. I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. Literally it is, make music to the Lord. In other words, sing with musical accompaniment. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 20, Hezekiah says the same thing, singing skillfully. Verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life. Notice it says, in the house of the Lord, there in the temple. course, the temple is no more. God's people are the temple, and the use of instrumental music has been done away, just as the temple itself has been done away. And that's why we don't have instrumental music in our services. So make music. We are to make music with our voices and sing melodiously to God and make music. And he calls the Lord's people to join to praise the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The holiness of God. Surely we should join with God's people and thank themselves. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. But right with the Lord's holiness comes mercy. And verse 5 speaks of the mercy of God, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is high. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Here is the great comforting reason to praise the Lord. Second place to consider, David's confession. In verse 6 we read, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." Now, if it's important that, as we've said before, that we go to the original, because there we can see what word has been given emphasis. We might have placed the emphasis on, and in my prosperity I said, or we might have placed the emphasis on, and in my prosperity I said. But one point of emphasis at least is placed on the pronoun I. And in my prosperity I said, as for me, this is what I said. It's not what the Lord said. This was me. This was my doing. This is what I said. I shall never be moved. And so he is confessing his sin. I'm the one who said this. And I said, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. The word prosperity, as we've said before, it means security. It includes the ideas of prosperity and of that self-confidence, which I shall not be shaken. You're coasting along. You're not going through many troubles. So you think it'll always be like this. You do begin to think that way. It's a natural for someone who's a long time. You think he'll always be with you. Or a nice job, doing well, or whatever it may be. Always be that way. That's very natural to us. I shall never be moved. Spurgeon goes at length to speak about David's confession here and how it was the product of a deceitful heart and self-confidence. Verse 7, "Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." So again, he acknowledges that it was the power of God and his providence that made him prosperous, but he calls his house or his abode a mountain, whereas Spurgeon said he should have called it a molehill. We begin to think well of ourselves and our position. We should recognize our insignificance and take a low place before God. "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." God withdrew the tokens of his presence and favor. The result was David was agitated. He was even terrified. He was perplexed. So we see here his confession. He is acknowledging his security or self-confidence. And here, my friend, call to watchfulness, and that we would not succumb to a carnally secure state of mind, but be watching and praying that we enter not into temptation. Well, in the third place, we come to David's supplication. It began, or he records it at any rate, in verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I cried. I could hardly pray, but I did cry. And one of the parts of Psalm 119, three times in four verses, if I remember correctly, the psalmist says, I cried unto thee. The morning came on, and I cried unto thee. I cried to thee. Well, that is what we should be doing, crying to God, making known to him our complaints, our concerns. And really what we have in verse 8, I cried to thee, Lord, is the word is called to thee, Lord, and unto the Lord. I made supplication, making request. And really in verse 8 is a resolution. I will call to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord. This is what I'm resolved to do. Have you ever had purpose and determination in your heart to call upon God, not give up, praying to him for an answer, for help, for strength? That was David's resolve. And then he uses arguments in prayer. So should we? What do I mean? Well, we should bring reasons to the Lord why we should expect the Lord to have mercy on us. And here's the argument David uses. Verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? What profit is in there in my blood? That refers to his death. He should die. Go down to the pit. His body disintegrating back to the dust. Shall the dust of his body, shall it praise the Lord? Shall it declare thy truth? So he says, my destruction can be of no advantage to the divine Lord. No advantage to God in the way of praising God, but it would here on earth if David should die or fall into this irrecoverable ruin. So, as Hezekiah, he desires to live or be recovered in order to praise God in the land of the living. Hezekiah prayed very similar, and perhaps he informed his prayer or this composition based on David's psalm in Psalm 30. Because we read that in Isaiah chapter 38, it's the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. In verse 18, he says, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot praise thee. They that go down to the pit cannot praise thee. He's not he's fearing death. He doesn't want to die. Oh, he has duty in view. He wants to do something for God. He says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. And notice then he says, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. There he is, he's thinking about his children or future children in Jerusalem. He wants to God's truth and praise the Lord and ensure that the city will prosper spiritually. It reminds us of Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 1, he's in a strait betwixt the two, to depart and be with Christ is far better, but to be with the flesh is more needful for the Philippians and for the church. So he wanted to live, it seems, so Hezekiah and David want to live in order to be useful to God and show forth his praise. So ask ourselves in our desires to live. Go on in this line, our hesitancy to die, what is the motivation? Have we had the motivation to show forth God's praise? This argument of peace, on occasion we might have assurance that we will go straight to heaven, but what about our loved ones? What about the church and usefulness here on earth? And this also reminds us of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 about the need to be diligent while we do live, because we can't do any work when we go to the grave. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Yes, to depart and be with Christ is far better, full of comfort and blessedness, but our usefulness in terms of this world is concerned will be over. Now's the time to work. Well, David was calling upon God. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Here is supplication. Here is making our requests known to God, bringing our petitions to the Lord. Here is prayer, properly speaking. There are the parts of prayer, confession and thanksgiving and praise. But prayer in itself is asking God for what we need. It's praying, I pray thee. Give me what I need. Give me what is suitable for me. Give me what is glorifying to thee. Praying for help. And when we pray that God would help us, we know that's agreeable to his will. We know that for sure. Especially when we appeal to his mercy. And when we're asking God to have mercy upon us through the merits of Christ, according to his death on Calvary and by his precious blood, God be merciful to me, a sinner, through the merits of Christ, based upon what Christ has done. And that's to pray in his name, expecting an answer based upon the mediation of Christ, praying in his name. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Well, we come to the fourth point, and that is thanksgiving. Here in verse 11 and verse 12, David, having recorded his prayer, now tells how it was answered, like an exchange of a lament or funeral song for a joyful dance. He says, thou hast turned for me my mourning or my lament into dancing. Here's a joyful dance, and he speaks of his mourning clothes that are made of a very coarse hair cloth or sackcloth as it is here. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Perhaps he was literally wearing sackcloth, but David says, thou hast put it off, thou hast unfastened it for removal, to be replaced, not by festive clothing, but by joy itself. It's like he's clothed with joy. Thou hast girded me with gladness, covered me with rejoicing. Well, obviously David, his prayer has been answered. God has lifted up the light of his countenance upon him. Because when God hides his face, David is troubled. But when God comes near again, it is rejoicing for David, because in the favor of God is life. In his favor is life. Well, we should be thankful that the Lord is able to exceed our expectations and to surprise us. Just when we think all our spiritual joy is gone, yet the Lord is able to come and change everything for us and reveal himself shining on us with his face. Well, why does the Lord deliver us and make us glad? Verse 12, to this end, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. And this is the counterpart to verse 9, when he says, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Why does he want to be delivered from the pit? So that he might praise the Lord. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. I don't want to be silent anymore. I want to praise God and thank him for his mercies. And my glory, what does that mean? The word my is in italics, so it's glory in general. Perhaps some have said it's his tongue. My tongue will sing praise to thee, or my soul. Or you take it in the wide sense and say, glory will praise God. Everything that is glorious will praise the Lord. Everything glorious, including my highest power, my utmost energy, will be used to show forth his glory. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. David feels indebted to the Lord, and so do God's people. When they see what he has done for them, when they see how Christ, for their sakes, became poor, that they, through his poverty, might be rich, they feel indebted to God, and they are ready to say, I will thank thee forever. I cannot but do so. And remember that thanksgiving involves thanks living. And we truly thank and praise the Lord when our lives show it, when our lives and our examples show our gratitude. Well, friends, what makes you glad? What are you thankful for tonight? A good job, education, those are good things. They are gifts from God. But remember, the gift of God is eternal life. And if you cannot give thanks to the Lord for delivering you from the fearful pit and the miry clay of sin and death in your experience, if that's not your experience, as it is with David's and all of God's people, then my friend, you need to be praying. Be praying that God would give you the greatest of blessings, and be thankful that these blessings, forgiveness, salvation, they are offered freely and they are bound up in Christ. And be thankful that Christ is offered to you freely in the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. And do not rest till you have come to Christ. And do not rest until a new heart and a new spirit has been put within you. Do not rest, but cry to God until he has raised you up from the lowest hell, that you might extol him for his great salvation. Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving. David was in distress. He felt the Lord hiding his face from him. But he called upon the Lord and cried for help, and the Lord returned to him and made him glad. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord's people have their ups and downs, that is true, and we should not be surprised when at times we feel our souls cast down and the Lord distant from us. We should search our hearts, yes, but not think it to be some strange thing that has happened to us. And yet, if we are truly the Lord's people, those experiences of God's absence will be unbearable to us, and we will long for his return. And if you feel the Lord is hiding his face from you, trace the steps of David in this psalm, the parts of prayer revealed here by adoration, confession, supplication, and soon you also will be brought to thanksgiving. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Mr. Van Kralingen, would you pray?